Sullivan testing the Portuguese.
You know, I like to be fit and healthy, so the best way I know is to just get out there and run.
Running was an outlet for me to, I guess, feel good about myself and take out some of the angers that were going on in my life.
Sonny O'Sullivan is going to take the world title back to Ireland.
Today on Irishman Running Abroad, we are talking all things shoes with the GOAT, the Queen of Irish Athletics, Sonny O'Sullivan. We will also get your questions answered as the road to Cove heats up. Heading into week 10 of 12, we hear how the squad is coping with the increased mileage. But first, Sonia, how are things in Portland?
Yeah, well, spring is in the air. There's been glimmers of hope.
A bit more warmth.
I wouldn't say warmth now, but there has been a light at the end of the tunnel. There's been the sighting of the sun, which is always exciting. And there's also hope that we're going to have about, I don't know, 5 or 6 days in a row of it at later this week. So, yeah, you can imagine the mood is high amongst people.
It does change everything, doesn't it?
Being from Ireland, and I'm sure you living in Ireland, you know the feeling. It just changes the mood of everybody. And it's like summer is on the way.
Sometimes I feel that's why I buy so many runners, because they change my mood, that there's always a reason to buy a pair. But today on the show, we did want to talk about sneaker rotation, shoe rotation, because everything I'm reading at the moment is saying that, in fact, this is actually a choice for your health, and that people who rotate their shoes, that aren't relying on the one pair that they love, tend to get injured less. What do you make of that? And is there something in that? Have you got a belief in that?
Yeah, I mean, there's always been a case for shoe rotation, and it's a very difficult thing for people to buy into, because we all have this thing, and I'm sure we all do, is that you find your favorite shoe and then you want to wear that every day. And I even find that myself with walking around the place. You know, I have so many pairs of shoes here. It's ridiculous. You know that, you know, and I have ones for like rainy days and muddy days, and I have new ones that I really like, but I don't want to take them out in the mud. So maybe I need a second pair. I think that's what happens when you have a really nice pair and you're restricting your use because of certain things in your mind that won't allow
silly
you.
Silly factors. Yeah.
Silly things is to have a second pair. So you have a clean pair and a dirty pair.
Yeah. Oh, listen, at my worst, I used to buy a pair of Jordans to look at and a pair of Jordans to wear. That was when Tina had to step in and go, Jared, this has got to stop. Thankfully, that stopped. And then you made it worse by introducing me to super shoes. And that's something we definitely need to talk about. So obviously, when I got my first pair of Vaporflies, I was chasing breaking the 20-minute mark for 5K. And nearly as soon as I put them on, I shaved a minute and a half off the time I was at. I think I got to 20 minutes, 40 seconds the second I put them on, which had to be somewhat psychological, Sonia. When it comes to super shoes, how much do you reckon is psychological and how much is actually the technology?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously there's a lot of psychological like factors that go into how you feel when you put a pair of shoes on. And that can be from the type of shoe, the feel of the shoe, and the look of the shoe. I mean, you just have to go into... I mean, if you went down to John Buckley Sports and spoke to Mark Hanrahan, he would tell you everybody that walks in the door has a beeline for the most attractive shoe on the shelf. And yeah, he has the hardest job convincing people that that's not the shoe for you. And you have this ugly, you know, one here, but it's very much more practical for you. So you got to think, why do the ugly shoe makers not
make them so ugly?
Realize that if we made these practical shoes more attractive, we'd be able to sell more of them.
Well, this is a big topic for me, because I obviously been down to John Buckley Sports on your recommendation, and Mark has done exactly what you did. He talked me out of the Fancy Dan shoe and put me in a pair last May of Asics Nimbus 25, which were absolutely glorious to run in. Anybody who's running them, David Gillick, I know, was a massive fan of them. Vinnie Mulvey absolutely adored these Nimbus 25s. And they weren't pretty. They were the equivalent of like a station wagon. You know, one of those old cars with the wood on the side. That's what I call them. But they were beaters. These things just felt great. Could do anything. Bit of speed, bit of pace, little bit of a long run. Even if you're really pushing it, a park run in them. Well, he sent me down the new pair, the 26s. Very, very grateful to John Buckley Sports. And later on in the show, I'll give you my little review of them. Now, you've said on this show before, Sonia, that you wondered what would your career look like if the Super Shoe had been around when you were at the highest level. Now, why do you say that to start with? Is that, has your opinion changed on that? Or is this solely based on the idea that you could recover better in these better shoes?
I think a combination of the recovery and then the ability to train harder in them, because they help you to run faster because they're lighter and they're also more supportive and, you know, have the carbon plate in there to propel you forward, all the positives. And then you have, you know, the race car version that you put on your feet for the races, you know, that are continually changing, like the evolving of the shoes. We kind of thought it had plateaued out, you know, and we'd reached the pinnacle of super shoes, but it just seems like the line in the bar keeps going higher and higher, and there's no stopping, you know, the speed and the ability of the athletes to use the shoes to help them to run faster and to continue to break records. So, you know, for that, you know, that's kind of like the dream world, you know, you kind of think, oh, I'd love to have known what it was like to run in those shoes when you could actually run fast and, you know, use them for their purpose and their benefit rather than just to use them to feel good running 20 minutes for 5K.
Yeah.
It's small consolation. But then on the other hand, I am now also seeing the fallout from a lot of these shoes. And there has been a number of issues with them and athletes getting injured, athletes becoming so reliant on the shoes that, you know, they've forgotten what it's like to run in normal shoes. And then they probably say, well, why do we need to run in normal shoes? But at the same time, now I'm starting to hear a lot, and quietly, people don't want it to be said too loud, is there any normal shoes out there? And I've asked the question myself. I'm like, I don't know what shoes to wear. Is there anything I can get that's not these super shoes? And everything is kind of leaning that way. Mm-hmm. But there has something that just has appeared at Nike, which is kind of nice. They've gone back, and it's not the Pegasus. It's not the structure. They've gone back, and this is going to be a problem in the future because there's no doubt they're going to change again and it'll get bad again. But the current version of the Vomera is really good.
Really?
It's got a bit of everything. It's got the streamlinedness of the Pegasus. It's got the bulk of the structure. And they're kind of knitted together. And it's right now, it's kind of the perfect shoe for somebody who's looking for something that's not a super shoe, and it's really comfortable. And I've been walking around in it all the time and managed to keep it clean so far. But maybe I need to get that.
It's also got that beautiful Zoom X foam, which I just think is the top of the tree at the moment in terms of foams. And everybody's obviously comparing foams to whether it's the Boost foam or whatever your particular brand of shoe is. It's always the foam, really, for me, that is the difference. And the Vomero, as Sonia says, is just stacked high with this lovely, luscious Zoom X foam. Now, it's so funny that you bring up this kind of reversion back to basic shoes without plates or rods in them. Because, obviously, as I said, John Buckley Sports sends me down this Nimbus 26, which is like a Range Rover of a shoe designed for, really, I guess it is designed for big units of fellas. Like, he says he sells a lot of them to larger dudes, taller fellas and bigger guys and women. But I stumbled across a pair of these new Asics Nova Blast 4. And again, it's just a shoe. There's nothing special to it, but it's very cheap. This is like 140 euros relative to your new Alpha Fly. That's pennies. I want to compare the two later on in the show, and you might be surprised which one comes out on top. But Sonia, we have got to talk about the road to Cove. We are on week 9 and the squad.
Oh, week 8, right?
Week
9?
Week 9, I think.
Oh my God, my notebook is a mess right now. I need, you know what I need, and I don't have, oh, week 9, you're right. I think.
Yeah, what do you need?
I need a notebook with, that's got like ribbon, you know, like ribbons through it, or tabs on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I am a disaster. Like, I love a nice notebook, and, you know, I'll have one that I'm fixed on for a long time, but it's not a diary. It's in no way an organized notebook. I just flick through it and look for the road to Cove. Now the weeks are kind of back to back, so I have to save a few clear pages for that. Jeez, I've only just about enough, I think, to get to the end here. But then, you know, I've got things in here, like gym stuff in here. I've got stuff in here for Sophie is swimming in the pool. I've got diet. I mean, everything is in here.
Miscellaneous notebook. Yeah, you need to separate it. Yeah. You need the sections one. That's what
but
you need.
But the funny thing is, I know what's in there, but I don't necessarily know where it is, but I know it's in there because I've written it down.
Somewhere.
And the key is to write it down. And that's, you know, with people writing down their training each week. If you write it down, then it's kind of ingrained in you that you've physically done it, but you've mentally done it as well. And that's what you take with you when you line up at the start line, is the knowledge of, you know, the work and the effort and the concentration that you've put into all this training to get you to be ready for the race.
Yeah, you said this at the very start of the Road to Cove training plan, to get your stuff written down. And, you know, I've been trying to adhere to it. Maybe later in the show, I'll talk a little bit about the road to London that I'm on via Cove and how tricky it's been. The last week or so, I've been on tour. I need to say a big shout out to everybody who showed up at the Kidney Care Gala that I organized at the London Irish Centre with Joe Wilkinson, a band of man, Just These Please, and Vittorio Angeloni. We raised nearly 10 grand for Kidney Care UK and the London Irish Centre. And so that chunk of which will go towards my marathon fundraising. So thank you all for that. Also, the people that showed up at Shepherd's Bush Empire on the Friday night. We then went from Shepherd's Bush Empire on the 4 o'clock flight out of the hotel at 4 on the plane back to Westport for 2 shows, an early and a late show on the Saturday. A massive shout to everybody.
London City, were you?
Yeah, no, we went out to Heathrow because it's only 20 minutes from Shepherd's Bush. But Westport was brilliant. Ricky Wynn showed up there. The man who, of course, set the record for going up and down Croagh-Patrick the most, running up and down Croagh-Patrick the most times in the same day. And the person we interviewed on the Runner's Digest, pop over to patreon.com to hear the full version of that interview. Aidan O'Shea was there as well. It was all sorts of sporting Illuminati showing up for it. And this week I'll be in Sligo. The show on Saturday is sold out, but there's still a few tickets for St. Patrick's Day. Let's hear a little bit from the squad. First of all, we have Sandra Busteed. She had an unbelievable week, and we want to give her a big shout out, but let's hear what she has to say.
Good morning, Jarlett and Sonia. This is Sandra here with a quick update for you. Yeah, things are going well overall. A couple of club races. I'm happy to see my times improving. I have found it difficult in the last week just to fit the sessions in and fit even the easy sessions. Or taking, you know, 50 minutes plus strides. It's just hard to fit everything in sometimes, but we'll keep going. We're nearly there. And it's great to see other people improving on the Strava group and the squads and great times in races and things. I suppose if I have a question, and I probably know the answer to it, unfortunately, do we need to still be adjusting our pace times and threshold times for the sessions if we see that we're, you know, making progress and getting a bit faster? I suppose we should. I'm just afraid to do any damage in the last 3 weeks as we're nearly there. But yeah, I'm pretty pleased overall. Okay, thanks, William.
Yes, you can. I mean, especially if there's a benchmark or a, what would you call it, a check-in that you've seen, in whether it's a park run or like some kind of feedback that you know for sure that you've improved a lot, then of course it's a good idea to try and change the threshold pace and bump yourself up a little bit further. so you're not really running that much faster. You're just gradually increasing the threshold pace and the ability to run faster or to run more efficiently at a faster pace in those type of runs. So yeah, it would be interesting to know if she has a new mark that she believes. I mean, yes, you do feel better and you feel that you're running faster, but you know, as a, I suppose, whether it's a race or a park run or a time trial, you need to have something concrete to base the change of pace off of so that it can be a bit more accurate than just thinking, okay, I need to run faster in the threshold runs.
Yeah, I mean, I think that people are getting a little bit anxious. The sense I get is the race is creeping up on people, and they're starting to be a little sense of, am I able for this? When the head starts to play games with you like that, Sonia, do you just need to focus on the day and the run that's in front of you and just forget about thinking about the horizon?
Yeah, well, we are less than 4 weeks away now, which is great. But yes, there's a lot of work done, and now people are some people are probably nearly ready to do the race right now because they've worked so hard for it. So the main thing right now is to maintain and to contain, you know, the thinking, I suppose, or the mental aspect of worrying about the run, and to break it down into simple thoughts. And the main thing is, okay, can I cover the distance? Yes, of course I can cover the distance. I know I can. And then, okay, well, what pace am I going to run at? And, you know, I think for most people, it's just to be realistic and to accept, you know, where they're at, what they can do. And, you know, the number one priority is to do the run, to complete the run. And then how hard are you going to push yourself? You know, are you just going to get around and enjoy it? Or are you really going to try and find out what you can do that you don't know? Are you going to be somewhere in between? And, you know, for most people, it'll be somewhere in between. And, you know, the level of enjoyment definitely comes from the target that you set yourself. And, you know, for some people, that enjoyment is from pushing yourself as hard as you can. And for others, it is to comfortably run around and to really enjoy it, which, you know, for most people, that's the best option.
Well, I have a feeling I know what Sandra Busteed is going to be doing. Sandra is, of course, a member of the squad that Sonia picked for this Cove 10-mile race, first weekend in April. And Jack Ryan got in touch, a fellow Tullamore Harrier. And he said that Sandra won't tell you this, but she just won the Tullamore Harriers McNamara 5-mile race. It is a handicap race, so everybody starts on even, basically. It measures the athletes who have made the most progress in the last 3 to 6 months, and Sandra only went and won it this last week. Congratulations, Sandra. That's massive, isn't it, Sonia?
That's great. You know, I mean, I think when you get positive feedback like that, and, you know, the satisfaction of winning something, that really gives you a boost. And, you know, it allows you to kind of reset and restart for the next few weeks, because you have a new energy and you're excited now because you've actually achieved something along the way. And, you know, that's the thing is, you know, when you have a training plan and you're focused on one big goal, whether it's a Cove 10 mile or a marathon or a half marathon, you know, the achievements that you make along the way also need to be acknowledged and celebrated and used to give you a boost to follow through and to finish the program.
Well, let's hear what Rafe Cunningham, what kind of a week he had last week.
Hello, Sonia and Jarlath. Rafe here on Sunday evening. All going well in the training plan. Thanks for sending over this week. It looks challenging, Jarlath, as you say, but really looking forward to getting stuck in. I suppose my update is that I've kind of missed my last long runs for various reasons the last two Sundays. And I'm a little bit concerned that that might leave me short. So if Sonia had any words to say about how important long runs are and how important to get all of them in, that would be great. The other thing is I'd like to thank Sonia for the sessions this is really probably the first training plan where I've really focused on sessions, not just endlessly banging out the miles. And I think it's really helped. On Saturday, did park run, meant to be easy as the plan said, but actually the blood rushed to the head and I actually ran it quicker than I expected to or planned to. But I think that was because I felt confident after the sessions that we've been doing over the last few weeks. And that's been really great. So I've been delighted that I've been able to do that. So yeah, it's so far so good. Looking forward to Cove, not very long now, and very excited. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few people that have had that kind of last few weeks on you where life gets in the way, the long run doesn't quite happen. What do you say to those people and to Rafe there who's feeling like, oh God, now that's gone, I can't get that run back? What do you say to them?
Well, yeah, that's right. You can't get it back, but you can, you know, make sure that you make the most of the next few weeks. And, you know, if there's a chance to get a little bit longer runs in during the week, then, you know, take advantage of doing that. I think the evenings are getting a little bit brighter now. The clocks actually changed here last weekend.
Yeah.
It's very early, I thought, to change the clocks the first weekend in March.
Really is.
We lost our hour of sleep and, you know, it's throwing everybody this week. But I did go for a walk last night, and I kind of, because it was a grey and horrible day and it was raining out there, and I was out there with my hood up, and then I realized, oh, it's actually a bit brighter than it was this time last week. So that was nice. But the long runs, they are essential and they do give you a lot. You know, I think you can miss one or two and you can get away with it. But I think if people miss more than one or two, then even though they get all the training done, they probably need to be careful and maybe adjust their predicted time. Because if they start too fast, you know, for a 10-mile run, they just may run out of steam towards the end. So I would just be careful and maybe set out conservatively and, you know, finish strongly.
So pretty much last week I bonked on a long run. And I think I mentioned this to you over text that, you know, I was meant to do 32K. And due to the hilly nature of the loop that I'd been doing, I did my fast bit. And then I had to go uphill for 4 kilometers and just got to 27. My body just went, that's that, Jared. There's nothing. And previous training blocks, I would have gone, no, we got to get through this, and leave yourself incredibly spent and stressed out at the end. So I called the rescue car, i.e. Tina, to come and collect me in the car and headed home. Vinny made the point that, you know, all is not lost in that situation, that, you know, you did rinse it. Like, he was like, you managed to get to your full limit and you kept going through some of it. You got those hills in, you even got your fast bit in, and that sometimes we can catastrophize a long run that doesn't go great. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, especially if it's on a difficult course or in tough conditions. You have to respect that and account for that. And, you know, it's a bit like the weather, you know, it might be 5 degrees out there, but it feels like zero. So, you know, you might have, you got through, was it 27K or fine, but it felt like 35. So sometimes, you know, the effort can feel a lot greater than it really is. And you have to acknowledge that. And, you know, so you have to recover from that as if you've run, you know, the full distance, and realize that, you know, because you've pushed yourself that far and you've earned the recovery of a greater effort, that you have to respect that and not kind of beat yourself up over it and think, ah, but it wasn't that long, so I can just push on this week now and not respect the effort I've done. But you really do need to respect it, and you need to recover from it, and probably even recover from it a little bit more. It's a bit like when people run a race sometimes and they start off a bit too fast, and so their finish time, they've slowed down, and they look at the finish time and you think, I could have done that a lot easier if I had started out slower and run more evenly. Sometimes if you start out too fast, then you get slower and then your overall time is the same or worse than if you had started out evenly and with more kind of conservative approach to the race or the long run. So, yeah, I think sometimes we can not think about things as much as we need to. And so we just get out there and run and hope for the best. And then you kind of get yourself in a hole. So the important thing is that you get yourself out of the hole and you don't dig a bigger hole for yourself. And, you know, then continue.
Get down on yourself.
Yeah. And then, you know, then you defeat the purpose of the training. So then you're entering the zone of overtraining because you're trying to do what's written on the paper rather than what your body is telling you. Hang on a second. No, I can't keep pace with this now. I've got to back off a little. And that's where it's so important for people to listen to their body. And, you know, if it's feeling like, oh no, this is too much, I need to take a day off, then take that day off. Or if I need to run a little bit less. Sometimes running, you know, 20 or 30 minutes can be more beneficial than running 40 or 50 minutes. If you've had a big week, whether that's just with your running or in your life or, you know, whatever else is going on, all these things add up and impact on how you feel.
Well, the plan, as Sonia gives it out every week, appears in the Strava group for the Road to Cove. The Road to Cove, of course, references the Sonia Sullivan Cove 10-mile road race, if you don't already know. It takes place the first weekend of April in Cove and finishes at the Sonia Sullivan statue. It's the best finish in running. I don't care where you've run in the world, coming down that hill with everybody in Cove shouting you on and seeing the Sonia statue ahead of you, you will never run as fast in your whole life. And I believe the race is nearly 50% sold out. Is that correct, Sonia? It's flying out, this thing. You really need to get booked in.
Like 75%, I think. It's like, yeah, it's getting close to, like, we're higher with higher numbers now than we've had, like, entered previously. So we're above
what
we've had before. We're definitely racing.
There is a cap.
There's a cap of 1,000. So we're definitely racing towards 1,000, which will be amazing. And then, you know, if we get to 1,000, then, you know, we may need to look at expanding it even further in future.
Wow, fantastic. Fantastic. Well, I'm delighted that Irishman Running Abroad is a big part of it and that we're sending this squad down. They will have bespoke singlets specially designed for it. I can't wait to unveil those and post them out to the squad members. We're going to hear more from the squad members in the second half of the show. I'm going to get Kira Cullen on the phone and Sonia and I are going to talk to her about the Recce run organised by Pete Howie and the organising committee of Ballymore Cove in the second half of the show. I'm going to have the review of the ASICS Nimbus 26 versus the ASICS Nova Blast 4. Some interesting results found in that. That's all in the second half of the show. So you'd be mad not to come over to patreon.com/Irishman Abroad right now and support the show and get an extra 30 minutes of listening with the Queen of Irish Athletics over there today. Sonia, we'll talk to you over on the other side.
Talk to you soon.
One of the keys to, like, maintaining your brain mass is pushing past that comfortable zone physically, you know, exercise wise.
Eamon Coughlin on his way to a major title for the first time in his life, the champion of the world.
Imagine, you know, a world where everybody could go out the door and engage in the kind of exercise that's going to make them more relaxed, more healthy, burn off stress,